Dubai Eye
103.8. We've got two experts in studio with us. The founder of the Dubai Vegan Community, somebody who is also the co-founder of Wholesome Retreat, Cecile Berdoun, joins us live in studio. Cecile, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And alongside her is a member of the community who also has a dedicated podcast called The Plant Code, Mr. Max Marsh, also in the house as well. Max, good to have you on board.
Pleasure to be here, mate.
Thanks very much indeed to you both for being with us. I'm going to start with stories, if we can. Not so much, but more personal stories, if you like, because there always seems to be a reason why somebody becomes a vegan or makes that choice. And that seems to be one of the reasons that a lot of people are texting in, saying that they need that reason or they're looking for that sort of backstory. Is there a reason? Why did you choose to go vegan, Asil? Let's start with you.
So about a few years ago, I was at a barbecue and I think I just had a realization from seeing all the, you know, different kinds of meats on the same grill. I had this realization that the way we consume meat these days has become very, like, it's such a commodity now, and it's just become too mass, and it kind of, we've lost the respect for the animal that we are consuming. A long time ago, you know, the whole village would feast once a year maybe over one grill, but now it's just become such a normal thing. And it made me question, you know, going back home to, I have a dog and a cat, so going back home to my pets, it made me question why sometimes we look at, you know, is it culture that we assume that cats and dogs are our friends, but then we eat the cows and the chicken? Or is it, what is it exactly? Something didn't click. And then from that, I started doing more of my own research. And I had some health concerns as well that I was trying to address. And I realized that it's actually a healthier lifestyle and a healthier choice. And that was also one of the big reasons why I chose a vegan diet. And
obviously, you've benefited so much from it. You've helped others benefit from it as well. Has there been challenges along the way? You mentioned there about the sort of cultural choice as well. And we live in a part of the world that veganism is quite new. And there are so many different cultures here. Many of them are very meat-based and many of them very traditional. Have there been a few clashes along the way?
I'm sure there's always a debate pretty much at any table I sit in, because some people think it's extreme. Some people think that, oh, you know, why would you just shift that quickly into something that's not necessarily, you know, common these days? It's getting obviously more and more accepted and more common, but it's still viewed as a bit of an extreme choice by some people. So there's always that debate. I think I'm glad that we live in a world where, you know, with social media, it's becoming easier to have that communication for people to go gather the facts themselves. So it's becoming easier to talk about it. But of course, there's always some clashes into, you know, why would you do this? And why we don't understand your reasoning. But I think, again, we love having this conversation with anyone. And that was one of the reasons we founded Dubai Vegan Community, was because it's very important to, you know, debunk these myths and have these conversations and make people know that this is very accessible. This is something we can all talk about.
Mm. Max, if you had a hot dinner for every time somebody around a table had asked you, why have you and when did you become a vegan? Is that something that's fairly common as well?
Yeah, everyone's interested in it now. And like you say, it's growing. People are becoming more interested. And people always ask how we become vegan. But I think what's more important, why? And why we're doing it and why we stick by it and why people are calling us extreme and why they think we have these strange beliefs. And it boils down to an ethical side. I was listening to your podcast, actually. You were talking about the stray dog story, Peace,
yeah, yeah,
that was shot 50 times. Terrible story, horrible. I mean, no, I'm not supporting dogs being shot. But on the flip side of that, we kill 70 billion land animals every year for food, and no one's talking about that. Mm. We stab a knife in the throat of chickens, cows, lambs, and that's even without counting seafood, just the land animals, every single year. But there's a real discrimination when it comes to animals. So we can even boil veganism down to avoiding any type of discrimination towards living beings.
How long have you been a vegan for now?
It's about 2.5 years now.
Okay. And I mean, in terms of, because we've heard a lot of people are getting in touch with us. Two sides. Obviously, the ethical decision that you've highlighted there. A lot of people also looking at it from a health point of view as well. From that health point of view, have you noticed a difference for you personally?
Absolutely. Originally, I got into it for my health. A very selfish, personal decision. It wasn't from the ethics. That came later on when I did the research and I started looking into it a lot more. I was struggling with my sleep, with my digestion. I was gaining weight, very sedentary lifestyle. that a lot of people suffer from in Dubai.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was like, oh, go vegan, try it. And I'm like, what am I going to eat? Salads? You know, like the usual kind of answers that we get. So I was like, you know what? I'll give this a shot. And I was eating a lot of less processed food. It was whole foods, vegetables, fruit. I mean, and you know what the diet is. That's the plant-based diet. And we need to separate veganism, which is the lifestyle, and plant-based, which is the food that we put on our plate.
Yeah.
And people confuse those two. And so I got into from the health aspect. And yeah, you can be very healthy as a plant-based eater. There's no doubt about that. Some of the best athletes in the world now are going vegan as well. It's not just crazy tree huggers.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think, can you make that definition for us? Because I think that's really important as well, that, you know, we're trying to have this wider conversation about veganism,
right,
if that's a lifestyle choice, as opposed to the plant-based diet or the plant-based choice of food that people can consume. Can the two be separated
they
as
can
well?
Be, yeah, you can be plant-based and not be vegan.
Yeah.
You can only do it for your health. You can still, for example, support the leather industry. You can support, because veganism goes so far.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course, yeah,
a lot of people are involved in veganism. It's about environmentalism as well, reducing waste, consumerism. There's a whole ideology behind it beyond just the food that you put on your plate. That's the plant-based aspect.
And Asil, just to sort of bring you back into the conversation here, in terms of the community itself, I mean, you guys are the first vegan community in Dubai. There are other organisations out there. What do you look to achieve through the community? Is it to answer the sort of questions that we're trying to address here today if people come and they've got questions?
It's a great question that we get asked a lot as a community, and it's a bit of both, right? It's about answering questions, debunking myths, you know, being there for whenever anyone who chooses, maybe not necessarily to go 100% vegan, but even just wants to understand a bit the lifestyle, wants to understand the choices. We support, for example, Meatless Mondays, or maybe some people want to try it out. Then we're here to be able to answer questions, provide that support. When we have our monthly events, we always invite non-vegans, and we love that. And so far, we've had many turnout, and they want to be part of the community just to understand. We don't necessarily, it's not like a little vegan community that's closed up, right? It's so a big part of it is that. Then there's the other part of it as well, is at the end of the day, being vegan is still a minority, and people do feel like they're a bit of an outcast and they feel left out. So we wanted to have that community to get people to know that they're not alone, they belong to something. And, you know, we have friends out there. I think it's funny, a lot of people say, and this is their stories, is that, oh, I lost so many of my friends when I became vegan, because no one wants to take you to restaurants anymore, right? So it's important as well to have that sense of community. Just like any minority in any place in the world, you need to feel like you belong to a group and an organization.
With any group comes a stereotype of sorts, but I think vegans and veganism is one that is blighted by stereotypes.
Exactly.
You try to break those stereotypes through the community. If there is one stereotype out there that you think needs debunking or disproving, what is that stereotype?
My favorite is where do you get your protein from? Because everyone, that's pretty much the question we get asked every time is, oh, well, okay, great that you're doing this for the animals, but then are you going to suffer? What's going to happen to your health? And actually, that's pretty much, I think, the biggest myth about going vegan. You have ample sources of protein, and it's healthier protein, right? Because you're getting it from the earth. We use animal protein, which animals to build, because protein comes from amino acids, right? And the animals built that by eating grass. Mm. So instead of, you know, just eating the grass itself, we're adding that middle ground in the way to get our protein. But the truth is, there's a whole fitness industry that promotes getting too much protein. You really need between 40 and 60 grams a day. And it's very easy to get that from, a cup of brown rice and beans. And that's probably around 20 grams. So three meals a day, that's how you get your protein. So it's not that difficult to get your protein as a vegan. And it's not that expensive. I think a lot of people as well say that, you know, is it, am I going to have quinoa all the time? No, it's something that's very accessible, and it's very easy to be able to get that.
Yeah. And for you, Max, What's the stereotype out there that needs to be put to bed?
Well, just touching on what Asil said, we don't eat grass, by the way. We don't directly eat grass off the ground. That's not what it's about.
No. Graze, no.
No, we don't graze. I mean, there's a lot of funny things on the internet going around that they're using vegans as lawnmowers, and it's very amusing. Okay. I find it very entertaining, but that's not what we eat. And the second thing, as she touched on, was the protein and the supplements and the health aspect of it. You walk down the street today, you see the amount of stores that we have for vitamins and supplements and protein. It's not for vegan people. We represent 2 to 7% of the population, depending on how people judge that. These are for people who already eat meat. So if these people are so deficient in their protein, are so deficient in their vitamins and their minerals. What are all these stores doing there? I mean, how can you not get that from the plant-based diet? We're not the ones buying that. So I think people need to think about that a bit as well. People are very worried about that dietary aspect, but they're already consuming so many pills and proteins. And also, okay, you can be B12 deficient on a vegan diet. That's the one that comes up all the time. Mm. But people need to look at what they're already eating, what they're putting in their bodies. The leading causes of death in the UAE 10 years ago was car accidents. We all know that driving hasn't got much safer, but heart disease has actually gone past that. Mm. And heart disease, one of the leading causes is consuming meat, dairy, and all these products. So already consider what you're eating now before you start poking holes in a vegan diet.
Questions coming through. Zines, you're having a look at some of the text messages on 4001.
Yes, one of them saying the vegan lifestyle is associated with activism, extreme activism. Thoughts?
That's true. And I just want to touch on another thing. You said that we're experts. We're not experts. We're not in here to explain to people exactly how to lead their life. And that leads into activism. We're just two normal individuals who want to make a positive impact on the planet. And the easiest way for people to make a positive impact on the planet is turn to a plant-based diet. And that encourages veganism. And that's protecting our environment, which means all the living beings that are here with us.
Stereotype. Another stereotype that's come through. No name with this one. Some vegans can be patronizing to meat eaters. Any comments from your guests?
I think it's important to understand where people are coming from, right? Because, you know, it's such a new world. It's such new data that we didn't have access to before. And, you know, sometimes you go and you read about it and you're so excited, you just want to run back home and share it with all your friends. And that might come across as a bit patronizing. That's definitely not the intention. And again, the reason we want to build this community in Dubai is to make sure, you know, people understand that this is a very accessible lifestyle. It's something that we really want to encourage to everyone. Even someone consuming less meat is still better than having meat 3 times a day. So yes, maybe that's a stereotype from because certain individuals were very excited and went home and you know helped the world create that. But the truth is that's something we all want to get away from, and we're all trying to play our parts to do that.
I think we've pretty much addressed this one, but Jeanette's been in touch with us. This is Jeanette Abdon out there saying, I can't understand how vegans avoid vitamin D deficiency. I know a lot of vegans who are vitamin D deficient. What do you replace for fish, cheese and eggs? Any advice?
I think it's actually a common misunderstanding that vitamin D is like the main source of it is actually not from the food. So even animal food is not the best source of vitamin D. The best source of it is actually the sun. So 20 minutes of sun exposure a day is more than enough to get your daily need of vitamin D. And that's, again, that's what we live in Dubai, right? That's going to be very easy to get. So it's not necessarily the food that would cause that. It could be a few incidences where, you know, someone had a vegan friend who happened to be vitamin D deficient. In the Middle East, it's actually genetically very common as well. Yeah. So it's not necessarily related to being vegan. I want to touch point on what Max was mentioning before. If you walk down the streets, all these vitamin supplement stores that exist today are not because veganism is so widespread. They're actually because of our current, you know, standard American diet, as they call it, is what we're eating all the time. And that's basically what has led to these deficiencies much faster than any other form of diet.
I've got a question that's come through from Mohammed. In fact, Mohammed reached out to us with this question. So let's have a little listen in to what he had to say.
I have had a conversation with a few friends, and there seems to be this perception that going vegan or veganism is an expensive process, that it's expensive to be one. So I'm really curious to understand more about, I'm personally not a vegan, but I'm curious to understand whether or not that's true. And of course, just from my own experience, I have seen friends that go out of their way to try and accommodate this sort of eating habits. So maybe it's expensive from a time perspective, but not necessarily from a Durham perspective. But I'm really curious to hear what you guys have to say.
Open-minded approach there from Mohammed. Max, do you want to pick up on that one?
Yeah, definitely. And a plant-based diet is not expensive. Let's say you go to a restaurant. The most expensive things on the menu are steak, are going to be the meat, seafood, lobster, all these options. You can eat extremely cheap on a vegan diet. I'm not a rich person. I live very basically, and the food that I eat is whole grains, vegetables, fruit. It's the cheapest things. You look at, for example, the third world countries, the majority of their diet is plant-based. Mm. They're not eating sirloin steak and Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's, but that's another problem because a lot of the meat dairy industry is subsidized. So it is odd if you think that 100 grams of blueberries is more expensive than a chicken nugget. Mm. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
that's a different debate. But just on a day-to-day basis, you can do it. You can easily eat pasta, rice, extremely cheaply and be healthy.
More questions coming through. Zines, you're having a look at some of the questions coming through on 4001.
Yes, Amit got in touch. My kids are animal lovers, have stopped eating meat, but I'm worried about their nutrition.
Of course, it's understandable because we've been so raised to believe that this is the best way to eat. The truth is, if you look at the amount of diseases, the leading causes of death right now, out of the top 10, 8 of them are actually food related. So I don't think that we are necessarily on the best diet right now. What veganism says is basically go back to the earth, go back to whole foods. Of course, if they just eat pasta and potatoes all the time, that's not going to be enough. You need your vitamins, you need your minerals, you need your greens. Of course, we should be supporting the kids because it comes from an ideology and from a perspective that, you know, they believe in this. And of course, we should support them, but we should also support them to eat right, eat the right amounts of foods and the right types of foods.
Mm-hmm. Can I add something quickly to that?
Of course, can yeah.
And every child is an animal lover. Yeah. When you're born, you see a baby rabbit, you want to hug it, you see a cow, everyone loves animals. And it's only when we grow up that we learn to hate these animals and to ignore the suffering of these other animals. Racism, sexism, all these things, they're learned behaviors. As a child, you don't care what that person looks like, what sex they are in the playground. You just want to have fun. You see them as another living being and you want to interact. And I believe we kind of, as we grow up, we turn an eye and we teach our children to forget about that aspect so we consume the flesh of those animals. And that's where what we're trying to do is just remind people. Mm. We're not trying to teach people anything. Just remind them that these animals want to live and they love and they have families and all these things too.
We've got another comment here that's just come through from Mac, which is interesting as well. He says, just read an article yesterday. If you think your little effort is not making a difference, consider this. The dairy industry is now down $1.1 billion dollars worldwide in sales due to the booming vegan movement at the moment. So there is a sort of backlash to be considered there with regards to that. And it's interesting when you talk about the sort of the involvement and also the influence of the dairy industry and the fact that that sort of mindset has to change in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking about this number actually yesterday, and what we were saying was this is exactly, as you mentioned, proof that every individual can make a difference. That's what we're trying to say is, you know, sometimes you say, oh, what am I going to change? I'm just one person. You're not one person. When the whole world comes together with one ideology and one belief, you can drive change.
And that's the basis of activism, is doing something, a little bit that you can do. And three times a day, you sit in front of a plate. You can choose what's on that plate. You can choose to be cruelty-free, have a better impact on your environment, which is an aspect we haven't really touched on, and better for your health. Think about number one. Think about you and what you're putting inside your body and the result and the impact that's going to have in the long term.
Nice thing, though, is the number of people who are willing to get in touch with alternative opinions, because basically that's why we're around this table, to have that discussion as well and to air those reports. Andrew's been in touch with us. He's obviously very set in his ways. Andrew's saying, look, having worked on a farm, then in an abattoir, and then at a butcher's, I will never give up meat. There is always pro and con research for everything. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Andrew. And on back of that one, we've had somebody text this in. I'm going to put this one to you guys for an answer as well, with regards to the question. This one from Maria, saying, if we were born to be vegans, then why do we have canine teeth? Is that one you've heard before?
That is a very good question, and I can understand people's concern with that. And we do have canines. However, the animal in the wild that has the biggest canines is the hippopotamus, a herbivore.
Yeah.
And also there's a saber-toothed deer. It's not for ripping flesh. And I'm not an anthropologist. It's basic research that I've done. And the canines that we have is for biting into hard fruit or for self-defense. So that's, and even look at our hands. Like, do I have claws? If I was meant to eat meat, when I saw roadkill, it would make me hungry. Mm. When I see roadkill, it makes me sad. And it makes everyone sad, even people who do eat meat. If you see a bird by the side of the street that's injured, you're going to take it home and want to take care of it and release that bird. But then you're going to turn around and eat chicken. And for me, that doesn't make sense from a moral standpoint.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because we reached out to a number of I'm not going to say meat advocates, but meat eaters out there. Because you mentioned as well, Max, earlier on, you know, there are no shortage of restaurants in this town. It's great to see so many more vegan restaurants popping up around town, but there's no shortage of steak restaurants out there who, you know, nail their colours to the mast about we offer the biggest and the best and the best cure ground and this, that, etc. One of those is the Pitmaster at the Blacksmith Smokehouse right here in Dubai. That's up at the Dubai Marina, isn't it?
Yes.
Up in the marina. Chef Arel Young, who's been in touch with us. In fact, he's been on the show before as well. So we just reached out to Arel. And, you know, he's a meat lover. He's a man who's been brought up around meat. He's a man who his trade is based around meat as well. We were interested to get his thoughts, and I find them very, very interesting. Let's have a little listen into him.
I can faithfully acknowledge that veganism will push two things to the forefront. People cooking more at home, and the creativity of chefs to accommodate nuanced dietary demands. The average blue-collar, hardworking Joe and Jane isn't going out of their way to acquire sustenance. Thus, the relative popularity of a vegan diet depends on the availability and affordability. By sheer means of production, meat will always trump the cost of a plant-based production. So most chefs will be thrilled to produce a menu that dramatically lowers their food costs and waste. In the arena of traditional American barbecue, there is no substitute. And that's okay, because people can seek to consume whatever their hearts desire. There are so many cultures amongst the 7 billion people on Earth that embrace a meaty diet. And as we progress into the next century, tolerance of culture defines our humanity. Vegans, meat eaters, and everyone else in between will coexist, because they already are.
It's just interesting there, Asil, wasn't it? Listening to, you know, because you think you're going to go to a pitmaster or a smokehouse and he's going to go, you know, veganism, forget it. But the fact that he's a businessman and he realises that he's got so many clients coming in asking for vegetarian and vegan options as well, that you can't ignore it at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a very important word here is tolerance, right? Is respect.
Yeah.
Respect to what people, I mean, what their wishes and how they choose to eat. What we're trying to do is not tell anyone what they should eat or how they should eat. What we're trying to do is just say, you know, there some things are not necessary. I didn't stop eating meat because I don't like the taste. I ate meat for 30 years. I stopped eating meat because I realized that I can get, you know, very similar taste, very similar texture, without causing the, you know, animal suffering and the harm that comes with it. And as he mentioned, and I love the fact that as a chef he's saying this, is that it pushes creativity, right? There are a lot of, you know, tofu and seitan dishes that taste and look exactly like meat. The Impossible Burger is one of them, and it actually bleeds kind of like meat. So there is a way to get that taste and get that texture. We don't necessarily advocate it 100% as that becomes your diet, because I would still say that's the junk food part of being vegan. That's my Friday cheat meal. I would still advocate a whole food diet. But if you want to get these substitutes, you can get, you know, the equivalent of chicken nuggets or a burger or a steak everywhere these days. And it pushes people to get creative. It pushes them to look for these alternatives.
It's interesting, isn't it, Max? Because just pick up on that word that Asil picked up on about tolerance as well. I mean, yeah, we've sort of got bogged down in the discussion about diets yet again, but we're talking about veganism as a whole. And is it a two-street approach, isn't it? Tolerance from everyone's approach. Tolerance towards veganism, tolerance towards meat eaters to a certain degree.
And what about the tolerance towards the animals, though?
Yeah.
That's not taken into account in this debate. And we talk about culture. And culture doesn't mean moral or ethics. Culturally, some things can be acceptable, but doesn't make them right. That can be slavery, that can be racism. It doesn't make them right. It's not because we've always done something that we should continue to do so. Like Asil, I ate meat for 25 years, and I enjoyed it. But when you see what goes on and how these animals are raised, it gets very, very graphic. And there's plenty of places you can find this footage, and I don't want to get into the kind of footage that's out there. And you can find it if you're willing, and that's the great thing about social media. If you're curious to know what's on your plate, then have a look. If it's not good enough for your eyes, why is it good enough for your stomach?
And I suppose there is enough. And that goes back to Danny's comment a little earlier on, doesn't it, about the whole idea of education out there at the moment. And is that something that you recommend as well? People going online or people coming onto the community and finding out more?
Yeah, absolutely. And even all the events that we're trying to do, it's to create outreach, to educate people, for them to learn, leave with some form of information. Whether they take that on board or not, that's up to them. But if you want to listen to something, I always say listen to a speech or watch this documentary and then do whatever you please. You can't force anything on anyone. Mm. You know, it has to come from within. And it's a big shift in people's lifestyle, especially with being enforced this Western diet that involves a lot of cheese. Cheese is on everything, meat, fish, whatever you want. So it can only come from within. And you have to just keep on remembering why you're doing what you're doing.
And to that end, Athil, I mean, you know, it's all good and well getting onto YouTube and checking out a video or checking out a TED Talk or checking out the footage that it might make you think twice as well. But then again, you're not getting the opportunity to get feedback. Is one of the reasons for the community to get around a table and ask these questions, discuss them further?
Exactly. It's making it a two-way conversation. We don't want to just throw the facts out there. You can get them anywhere. The idea of the community is, you know, I mean, whoever messages on Instagram or on Facebook, you'll get a reply within 15 minutes. It's our screen time is pretty high. And then, again, the events are to meet people, to have these conversations and to be able to, you know, ask your questions. It's okay to have concerns. It's okay to have anxieties. We're all here to address them. My advice is to just trust your instinct. As Max was saying, sometimes if a culture is there for long enough, it becomes a tradition. Doesn't mean that that's necessarily the right thing. And slavery is a great example of that. It took around 400 years to stop slavery, yeah. But it eventually did. So there is this group of early adopters that are seeing this. And I think the world is going to slowly, as long as you trust your instinct, trust what your kids are saying, because kids are innocent that way. And just remember, does it feel right? Does it necessarily, just because everyone is doing it, doesn't necessarily mean that that's what I want to engage in. And then you take it from there. And we're here for everyone, of course.
One thing I do want to address, if that's okay, Max, is this whole idea of the environment. We've had somebody text in saying, I still can't understand why veganism is the future for the environment as well. I think that's one thing we haven't really discussed in detail at the moment. So again, what's your answer to people that turn around there and say, why is it better for the environment?
Animal agriculture is one of the leading causes of pollution and uses of resources, be that water and even the food, the grain. We give 70% of the world's grains, between 50 to 70, I don't want to put exact numbers on it, to livestock. Mm. And we're feeding all of that to them. Yeah. If we were to reallocate those resources, we could feed to 11 to 14 billion people. And that is the environment. Yeah. And I think why we say veganism is the future is we do need to think about that. We are an increasing population. And it's not because you go vegan that you're taking anything away from your diet, especially as nowadays there's so many meat replacement products, if that's what you want to continue eating, and yeah, they use less water, they use less grain, and they use a lot less resources, and they're better for your health as well. So it can be done. And we just encourage people to give it a try. Think about the future. Think about your children. Think about the planet that we're leaving behind for them. We're destroying it. It's up to our generation to make an effort to do something. And a plant-based diet is the easiest way for you to get started.
It's amazing when you talk about the sort of the momentum of, you know, we're focusing on the community here, and it's great to see, you know, magazines with dedicated vegan sections in them at the moment. We've got many more stores serving products that are perfect for vegans and veganism here in the region. There is a much more acceptance, tolerance, and understanding of the movement here. One that really struck me though is over the Eid break, and I was flying back from Spain. You know, and we all know, we've all travelled in Europe, and there are certain countries in Europe where, you know, being a vegetarian is frowned upon. Madrid Airport, the centre of Spain, have dedicated vegan restaurants now, which I just thought is a massive move in a country that is very well known for its meat consumption.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's, I think, the biggest proof that this isn't a fad. This isn't a trend. This isn't, you know, like a magic pill fad diet. This isn't something that's just going to come up and then go away and when something else replaces it.
Yeah.
This is a movement and this is an ideology that's here to stay, because it's really a paradigm shift in how we are thinking, how we are, you know, how we look at food and how we look at actually our footprint to society and to the environment. Mm. So that's why, again, seeing these restaurants, of course, it's great to see. There's a funny joke that says, you know, like vegans, when you see something out of stock, you get so angry, but then you're also so happy in the supermarket. but yeah, it's great to see, because then it makes you realize that this really is again a mindset shift. Mm. It's not because someone wants to lose weight and they created this book that now everyone is buying.
But that's also interesting. And is there a sort of commercial element to it to a certain degree? Because a lot of people have been texting going, yeah, I've turned vegan and now I'm opening a vegan restaurant, or yeah, I turned vegan and now I've launched a new product. So everyone seems to have, you know, not sort of jumped on the bandwagon, but people see it as an opportunity.
A lot of people are capitalizing on it because it is growing. There's a demand and it's becoming economically viable. People are opening businesses that have vegan options, even if they're not personally vegan. Even look at the huge corporations such as the huge fast food chains, they're even bringing in vegan options. It's not necessarily corporations that I would support with my dollar, but if people are already going there and they see a vegan option on the menu, at least they're starting to have a thought, oh, I can eat this burger and a cow doesn't have to die for it. And even if for me it's from an ethical and moral aspect, now that it's becoming economically viable, I think we need these big corporations to get behind for it to become more mainstream and for more people to have access to these products. Because we can talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
But, okay, hopefully the two of us will change the world and by spreading this message. But it has to come from a lot bigger sources than us that have to get on board and to put their money in the capitalistic society that we do live in.
This one from one of our listeners out there, no name with it, says, I've been a vegan for 50 years now. I'm now in my 70s. I still work 10 hours a day and 6 days a week. I've never taken any supplements. In the beginning, veganism wasn't common, but by any means. But now it is really well accepted. Thank you very much indeed for that one. No name with it, but much appreciated. Lydia's been in touch with us today as well. Lydia saying, I have personally witnessed Cecile's journey and I admire her passion. I truly believe one little change in your eating habits can make a huge difference in your life and also spread a very positive message like the one you guys are sending out today. Amazing job. That's from Lydia this morning.
Thank you.
We've also had one from Raju. So wouldn't the protein requirement be much higher than 40 to 60 grams for someone who is looking to build muscle and an active gym goer? What protein options would be viable then? Protein shakes?
I love when it's related to muscle building, because if you look at the strongest animals in the world, including your gorillas and your rhinos and your hippos, they're all herbivores. Mm. So again, building muscle doesn't necessarily need to mean you have to eat another animal. I wouldn't necessarily go directly to supplements. I think there's a lot that you can get from your lentils and your beans and your hummus. But if you do want to take supplements, there are some out there. There are pea-based supplements or rice-based protein supplements. So they do exist. Again, we try to encourage a whole food plant-based diet as much as we can without having to go into a supplement. But there are natural supplements out there for sure.
Scenes?
We've got another question. Came through Instagram. How do they feel about people who are vegans but wear and buy leather? That's from Zara Zimbo.
I mean, we don't support the leather industry for the obvious reason that it's exploiting animal. It's very toxic for the environment. The leather industry is equal to 30 million passenger cars. So just from an environmental aspect, that's wrong if you don't have any interest in animals. It is a durable item, but we don't support that. It's wrong. That's a moral judgment that it's wrong. That's my opinion, and I don't think people need to buy leather. But can you be vegan and wear leather? That's a debate that can go so far, because veganism, it's huge, it's massive, it's a whole that can apply to everything, to animals, to the environment, to cosmetics, humans, cosmetics, like you said. It's such a huge industry. And I don't think that should stop people from doing the best that they can do. If you have a leather bag, if you have a pair of leather shoes, I'm not saying you have to throw them away. You can give them away, which is what I'd suggest you do. You give them away and there are other alternatives. But you can still wear them and consider yourself to be vegan to start with. Like, you don't have to be perfect straight away. Eventually, it'll be too much for you to wear those shoes. You won't want to wear those shoes. So just keep trying to do what you can. That's what we suggest. And we don't say that you're bad people because you eat meat. We don't hate the people. It's just we just want to provide information. And we want to show there's a different way that you can choose to love. We accept everyone into our community, so everyone should come to our events.
Yeah. Bruno is very much accepting of said community. He says, morning all, great segment. Please tell my good friends there I said hello. You should go vegan as well. Take care. That's from Bruno this morning listening in. So Bruno, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Bruno.
For that one, 4001. Everyone's been in touch with the show and long may that continue. Keep coming in if you'd like to have your thoughts. Unfortunately, we're out of time on this occasion, but that doesn't mean that this conversation has to finish. In fact, the team here are encouraging you to continue that conversation now. Number of ways for people to do that. Wasil, let's start with you. If people want to get in touch with the community, if they want to join the community, if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to continue that?
So right now, social media is the fastest way to get in touch with us on Instagram and Facebook, Dubai Vegan Community. Very simple. We also are launching a website very soon, www.dubaivegan.community.com. Right now, it's just a page where you can put in your email address so that we can send you an update when the website is up and running. But that's happening very soon. So we encourage everyone to sign up for information. And then we also have monthly events. So again, if you're on social media, you can join the gatherings. We've had so many where non-vegans have joined and they love it. They love having this conversation with us, and we love having them. So it's not at all a private event. It's very inclusive, and we encourage everyone to join.
And Max, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to listen to the podcast as well, best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the Plant Code podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, other podcast platforms, and also on YouTube. The past few videos are actually in video format as well, if you want to check it out. And also on Instagram, @theplantcode. So look forward to connecting with you. Any questions, if you want to talk to me, anything you didn't like that we said today, want us to clarify, feel free to get in touch with us anytime.
Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much indeed for being with us here and sharing your thoughts and your experiences and your expertise with us today. Max, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Wasil, bless you. Thanks so much indeed
thank
as well.
You.
Thanks to you for coming in and explaining more about the community and, of course, your own personal journey.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.